Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Sincerely hoping everyone had a terrific weekend as far as finding the winners and finding Winx and cheering Winx. 36 starts and 30 wins. She was the undoubted star of the weekend, as she is wherever she goes. 26 straight wins now, earnings in excess of $19 million and that world record of Group 1s of 19. Was it her best win? 1,400 metres not perfect for her, but she overcame the track bias and a severe headwind, so it was fantastic. And Chris Waller, he can't thank the Aussie public enough. Pretty good for a Kiwi to say that. Her next start will be September 15 in the George Main, and who knows what lies beyond, hopefully a fourth successive Cox Plate. Huey Bowman did have his concerns. I'm wondering if you did. If you did, 1353 53, text messages on Punter's Postmortem 0419 767 272. All the things that unveiled or happened over the weekend, plus what happened this morning at the barrier trials with the defending Everest champion looking fantastic and leading all the way and winning this morning. Good morning, Ronnie Duffacy.
Yeah, good morning, TK. You've said it all. When a champion comes along, you just you lap it up while you can, because they don't come along often, although we've had a few of late in the, over the last 20 years. But she is an absolute beauty. It was a great day's racing. It was dominated by, well, pretty well three or four jockeys. Bowman 3, Clark 3, McDonald 2, and McAvoy. The big guns really come to the top there. And so many horses to follow. And as you said, a couple of interesting sets of trials with some beautiful horses going around this morning. Paradas are out about to jump. And it's all about racing over the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's a great time of year, Duff, isn't it? And also down in Victoria at Caulfield, we saw a couple of stars emerge. Kingswell Dream and our $5 favourite at tab.com.au for a Caulfield Cup. And then Showtime making a bid for a late Everest slot. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Yeah, morning, TK. Yeah, no, it was a terrific day at Caulfield, but everything stopped at 3 o'clock and we bowed to the great one.
Yeah, I saw some images coming in, mate, of the, you know, everyone in the grandstands, you know, watching the big screens, and terrific to see. I think we can all celebrate, can't we, Dino?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's just spectacular to watch what she's achieved, and looking forward to the next few weeks.
Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. Bring a tear to a glass eye, Glenn, even for an old stager like you, Winx.
Yeah, well, TK, good morning to you. Good morning, Ronnie. Good morning, Dino. And good morning, listeners. I tell you what, she makes it interesting, doesn't she? Yeah. When you look at her.
Yeah, that's right.
you say to yourself, well, you know, one day she may get beat. And you say to yourself, coming to the turn there on Saturday, for about the third time in the last five goes at Randwick, is this going to be the day? She's not going that well. Huey's niggling along, and she's not really picking up in a traditional wave. And then even when she straightened up, you said, oh, hang on, nothing's really run on out here. And then she just left Kem and Tara and you went, oh, no worries, here we go.
Yeah.
Way you go, girl.
Yeah, I think there are the other couple of things. Not only did she overcome a classy field over what you'd nearly deem an unsuitable distance, if there's such a thing for Winx, but, you know, it was track bias was against her, that severe headwind, Ronnie, was against her as well. So she had a bit to overcome, including a really good field. And in the end, again, she made it look easy.
Yeah, she certainly did. You know, like you said, Huey says, I'm just about to feel for the whip because I thought I needed it. And that by the time I pulled it through, she was in front. So he couldn't believe that. And look, let's face it, well, the way I'm looking at the track, it was up the inside. It was a 7 metre rail. It was a little bit of jar out of it. And we had, you know, horses up the inside win all day, and a few favoured runners just, you know, floundering a little bit, you know, 4 and 5 and further out off the track. So she did a fantastic job overcoming that, and we know what she can do sectionally. You know, we had 1,000 metre races there that they sprinted home in, and she just destroys those figures, time in and time out. She just breaks all the records.
Yeah, Glenn, can I get some confirmation here? We had Dave Stanley earlier on this morning. He's quite concerned. Price is $2 to make it 29 straight. We expect that to be Cox Plate Day, don't we? At well, tab.com.au.
Let's go back and have a look at her last three preparations. Now, okay. Who say you don't do a bit of research for this show?
You do.
Right. In 2015, she was coming off a 105-day spell after running in the QTC Oaks over 2,200. She had one barrier trial. She went first up into the Theo Marks, second up into the Epsom, third up into the Cox Plate. Right, so she was just an early season four-year-old mare there, coming off a campaign where she finished at 2,200. In 2016, she'd won the Doncaster, had a 120-day spell, had two trials, went first up into the Warwick Stakes, then had a 1,000-metre trial at Warwick Farm in between the Warwick Stakes and the George Main. Her third up run was the Caulfield Stakes. Her fourth up run was the Cox Plate. In 2017, she was coming off a 133-day break after winning the Queen Elizabeth. She'd had two barrier trials. She went Warwick Stakes, Chelmsford Stakes, George Main. So she's put in the Chelmsford in between the Warwick Stakes and George Main last year, then the Turnbull, and then the Cox Plate. And this year she's had a 126-day break. That should be, not 136, and the other one should be 123. 126-day break. She had two trials. She's first up in the Warwick Stakes. Now, where does she go? Does she go to the George Main on the 1st of September, which is 2 weeks from last Saturday? Or does she wait another 2 weeks and, sorry, go into the Chelmsford in 2 weeks' time, sorry, and then, or does she wait another 2 weeks and go a month into the George Main? So, therefore, she'd probably have another barrier trial or an exhibition gallop or a series of them or whatever, and probably be fourth up again into the Cox Plate.
Which would be 29 or more wins at $2.
Yes, at the moment. Because her next run, she is 27.
Yep.
Her run up, say that's the George Main, the Turnbull would be 28.
Eight and 29
and
would be the
would
Cox.
Be 29.
Dino, you do the mapping of all these horses or many of them. Do you think that would be the program?
Yeah, well, I would think so. I think that was, it's sort of a hybrid of the past 2 years. She was fifth up last year, she was fourth up the year before. I think fourth up might be the go, and that would, that would fit in.
Dino,
Chris said yesterday, the next run will be the
George Main. Yeah.
All things being going.
I've got that September 15.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. All right. Okay. Showtime, Son of Snitzel wins that PB Lawrence Stakes, Dino. The Hawks team seem very bullish. They're thinking about trying to get a sneaky start, if possible, in the Everest. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I didn't know that. I think he's going to the Memsie in a couple of weeks, and he'll be up against Vega Magic, so they'll get a guide there, those that have got slots remaining. So he'll be an interesting challenge for him. He's a good 1,400-metre horse, and he's a good rolling horse. He hasn't won out of turn, but he's always raced at the top level, and he did a good job on Saturday. But I thought he had a little bit of fitness on some of those.
Will there be any slots left? Glenn, was there a big bet on Nature Strip yesterday?
Yeah, there was a bet of 5,000 on Nature Strip, but a bit of news there. Stephen Hewlett from Radio 4 TAB contacted the owner of Nature Strip this morning, and he said, any news? This was Rod Lyons, and his reply was, all quiet on the Western Front.
Late last week, it was all three have been in contact with me, so they might have just had a weekend to think about it.
Mm. Well, I think it might be getting down to how generous the owners want to be with the slot holders.
Well, that's right. They've got to work the deal out, don't they?
Yep.
And Parada wins his trial well this morning. But if you listen to the rumours, Chikuk was flown out of the barriers three times since the last trial. So
the latest being this morning.
Yeah, I got a text here, a tweet from Will Friedman, stable foreman for Richard Friedman. Just watched Chautauqua jump out of the gates with two other horses only 30 minutes before official trials. Can jump, full stop. So jumping against two other horses, you'd have to say, Ronnie, the stewards would want to see at least two proper official barrier trials with Chautauqua coming out.
Yeah. No doubt. But the indications are that he's jumping at home. So maybe one more trial to just see what happens.
It'd be spectacular if he got there. Yeah. It would be just the ultimate to add to the intrigue of the race.
Yeah. I mean,
he's the sort of horse that's going to drag another few thousand through the gates.
Just to see if he comes out.
Yeah.
and there's two bouts of intrigue there, Dino, too. One, if he does get to the start line, will he come out of the barriers? And then with about 400 to go, will he take off, you know? Yeah. So, but Red Zell looked pretty good this morning, Duff, winning that opening barrier trial, led easily and then, you know, won easily.
Yeah, those blinkers certainly do the trick with him, don't they? He's sharp as a tack. It was a good field. Champagne Cuddles railed up into second. Trapeze Artist, Pure Elation had nice soft trials, but he was at his brilliant best for sure.
Would you make a global glamour there? That's not like Gates horses to really be throttled down late like it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only seen the trial twice, and I was sort of looking at a couple of the other horses. So she went forward in the trial, and obviously they didn't do a lot on her.
Yeah, well, she was going along about 150 out, just clocked right off. So.
Okay.
What about Trapeze Artist, Ronnie?
Yeah, it just wasn't fully asked. I'd say it's a bit early for him to be wound right up. So he's when they let Red Zell sprint, they just throttled him down as well to a certain extent.
Impressions of English?
Look, she—that's her. She'll go and have another trial, maybe now, or she'll go to the races and start off. Look, English has never been a flashing light trialer.
Glenn, do we claim this as a victory for Tom Melbourne? Tom Melbourne stepped out in trial number two this morning against the likes of Coming Through, It's Somewhat, Roman Sun, Single Gaze, and got the cash.
After the stewards' inquiry is concluded, TK, probably all jockeys have been called in at the trials regarding their tactics in the trial. They were heard in the last 25 metres singing "Go Tom," and by the photographer on the winning post. And Tom, for one stride there, actually turned his head to actually try and see
where
how far
you,
away
buggers?
They were.
Where
yes,
are you?
Yes,
I don't want to do this.
And there was a good trial at Newcastle this morning. El Dorado Dreaming and a very smart up and comer in Smart Melody. They both trialled very nicely as well.
Gee, couldn't hold it slow enough, Smart Melody.
It's a nice horse, isn't it? Mm. Really,
well, that's one of Chris Lees's that's in the Golden Rose. She came to Canterbury on a Wednesday, and oh, gee, didn't she win easy there?
Yes.
Oh. Guys, can you put your analysing hats on and we'll go through it? We've all had our say regarding Winx. What about the standout performance here as well behind Winx, Ronnie of Invictus Prince?
Yeah, he railed up there, and I think he was a benchmark 77 horse going into the race, so that was a huge shock, him running so well. So he trialled well coming into that race, so maybe he is an input on the improved. Look, my eyes were for D'Argento, I must say, and Unforgotten. They both didn't let the team down at all. They're in for huge springs. I would have thought, obviously, D'Argento's might be an Epsom horse or even something in Melbourne as well, and Unforgotten, we're all thinking Caulfield Cup, but it was brought to my attention. Chris doesn't usually push his young mares in the so much in the spring, more so in the autumn. So I was sort of keen to sort of chime into a bit of the $21 in the Caulfield Cup until someone, you know, grabbed my shirt and a collar and said, you'd like the tick off to say that she was going there, her run was excellent.
What do you make of Kemantari, right? Now, God bless Godolphin and James Cummings for actually putting Kemantari in the race because it created such great talk in the lead up to the Winx Stakes, which was fantastic. I think you've got to say disappointing.
Oh, no. I wouldn't think so. He was in the worst part of the track as well.
And
The last position I would have been wanting to be on him is eyeballing Winx at the 600.
Yeah.
That's the last spot I want to be in. You know, I want to be up in front of him, making her chase and run me down. But
is he potentially now being Winxed?
Yeah, well, we'll find out next time. I don't think they'll try that one again. I don't think they want to go to the well too often against her, which won't happen now anyway, I wouldn't think.
But it was good they gave it a roll of the dice. What was your summation, obviously, apart from Winx, Dino, regarding the others, Invictus Prince, D'Argento? I'll get your comments regarding Kemantari and Unforgotten.
Yeah, I thought D'Argento was the really good run. He had to work up to them and cart them into the race virtually, so he did a good job. And just sort of working through the sectional times there, the efforts back in the field of like Unforgotten was good, and even old Libran ran home beautifully. Second best last 200 of the day behind Winks, so he had a lovely pipe opener for a staying race down the track.
Now, did the chip not work on D'Argento?
I thought I
saw the punter's intel and D'Argento didn't come up.
I get daily sectional time, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I thought okay. I saw something last night regarding punter's intel and D'Argento's
section. He ran the sixth best last 600 of the meeting, ninth best last 200, tenth best last... ninth best last 400, 10th best last 200.
I was at a Champion Thoroughbreds Open Day yesterday and was chatting with James McDonald, and I asked him for everybody if there was one horse over the spring that he wanted to stay on and one horse that they could absolutely follow, and he said D'Argento. Did not hesitate. So thought it was a terrific run yesterday.
No doubt. Yeah. And it's a matter of whether Hugh Bowman puts his hands up for the ride as well.
Well, that's the problem, where they're going and what they do. And the other issue is he rode two winners, but he should have actually ridden four. Outback Barbie, geez, still looking for a way clear. And the horse is called Best of Days in the last, not the worst of days. But, geez, it was the red flashing light run.
Yeah, they were two unlucky runners in the last Shogun Sun, and Best of Days, they should have fought the finish out. But look, take nothing away for Chaotic. He's on his way. He's back in business, and he's an up-and-comer.
And, Glenn, we see that on a day where it is rails bias and on-pace bias. We see everybody not really want to stay on the fence as long as they possibly can and hope for that miracle run, don't they?
Well, that's when you run out of room. That's what happened to James in the last race, Best Today's. Outback Barbie is a little bit different because he was probably a half leg slow.
He got pushed back in
that race there. So instead of being probably two pairs back, she was four pairs back and just needs the field to break break its way. And then, you know, with Best of Days, he got to a situation there probably at the 200-metre mark. He didn't want to be inside. He wanted to get out and get himself a bit of room, and he still couldn't find clear passage until, 75 metres from the line. So, in those sort of days, and I'll ask Ronnie and Dina, when you look at a day's racing like that, it's very hard to quantify how forgiving you've got to be for those horses that were wider on the track.
Yeah, agree.
Didn't worry, Winks.
No. Well, champions can overcome.
She's got a little bit of ability, yeah.
I think the writing was on the wall in the first when the two really well-fancied runners, Panzer Faust and Evo Pix, both emerged out wide together, and they just seemed to struggle. They just seemed to... Their wheels were spinning out there late. Obviously, you take no notice of the second race. That was a fast, just three-quarter pace, Sedge and Ho there, and punters worked that out as well. Zora had a bit on them, and Brook Magic nearly got there on the rail. So it was sort of still up in the air, but from there on in, there was a lot of stuff on the fence that just had kept happening all day.
Dino, I reckon the PB Lawrence Stakes, which was your feature, is going to be a really significant race. As it sometimes is, or often is, going forward throughout the spring. So I'll get you to run through them and analyse it. I'll get the other boys also to give their thoughts. But showtime?
Yeah, he did a good job. He was up on the pace, and he was probably annoyed a bit by Jungle Edge. Probably thought Jungle Edge might even go harder, but he went at a really solid speed anyway, and I think that's how Showtime races best. Saw him in the Stutt Stakes like that, so he'll go to the Memsey and give a good sight.
Hartnell
was good. It's certainly the biggest I've ever seen him look. Talking to Reg Fleming about it, I think he said he's about 20 kilos heavier than usual. He might have a bit more improvement in him off that run than most other years. In recent times, he's been basically a fresh horse, but he ran well Saturday.
Widgie Turf made good ground.
Yeah, he did. He was fit. It was well placed by Paddy Payne to try and get a big result out of him. It wouldn't say that he's not a chance to race like the Rupert Clark in about 6 weeks' time if he holds him up. He seems to be able to just keep him fresh and tick him over so he can go back to a handicap.
It normally is. Kingswell Dream was a fantastic run. Is it an overreaction to be a $5 favourite for the Caulfield Cup? What sort of weight would be down 51 or something like that?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He's in the field because he won the Mornington Cup and he's going to have a light weight and he's just run well at weight for age. So there's plenty to like about that formula.
It didn't stop someone having $5,000 on it at $6.
$6?
Straight after the race. That's why it's $5.
Right. What was it before the race, Glenn?
It was probably 13, I think.
It
would have been.
It was double figures.
Yeah.
A great run. So he'll just keep that to wait for age races now. There'll be no more penalties. And he's a shorter start. So he's in the field, which is that's half the battle done.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's an interesting one, though. It's an all-the-eggs-in-one-basket situation because It's one thing to have that weight. I know that they're hopeful we can get to the Melbourne Cup too. So, yeah. So, I mean, well, it will take care of itself. If he ran first three in the Caulfield Cup, well, he's sweet. So, yeah. So, anyway, he's going along very well.
So, what, you win the Caulfield Cup, you come out and go, oh, really? It was such a great win. We deserve two and a half kilo.
Oh, no, we'll get in anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
No, what about Grunt? What'd you make of Grunt?
Grunt looks fantastic. The word from the camp's been that he's been a couple of weeks behind all the way through, and now he's got a month till his next run, and it'll be at Flemington. I thought he'd still win on Saturday, and there was a stage at the 200 he could have really given up, but he didn't. He toughed it out, and I thought it was a pretty good run.
I think
Flemington Mackay Beevor stakes in a month, he'll be going very close to winning.
And looking for further now.
Yeah, we've only seen him up to 1600 at this stage, but that looks the plan.
Two other big horses here, mate. Blackheart Bart for Darren Weir, and also Humidor. I think he was pretty happy with Humidor. How did you rate Humidor and Blackheart Bart?
Yeah, Humidor blinkers off, back, worked home well, didn't look anywhere near ready. Blackheart Bart rode a lot closer to he's often on pace, but at very slow speed. That's about as fast as he's gone early for a long, long time, and I reckon he'll benefit off that run, but it's getting close to that D-Day moment for him. He's an eight-year-old. Now, if he'll spring off that run or he's just about cast at this level anyway, we'll find out in his next run or so.
He pulled up lame, didn't he?
His Stewart's report.
Lame in the back leg, but, oh, geez, yeah.
Is that just do they grade the lameness in Melbourne like we do here?
Well, they should, but yeah. They don't. Well, it was a fine edge.
Right. What about Dan and Liberty, Dino? Because this was the horse in the lead-up through the winter was the big spruik horse for a race like the Stradion, couldn't get in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that was, he was really primed up to try and do that, whereas because they did that with him and it's only sort of 8 or 9 weeks ago, they backed right off him and he didn't look ready at all Saturday. So a couple of runs down the track and we'll assess him.
Big effort, wasn't it, by Le Romain de Bull, lumping that 61 kilos and winning the show county. And just a touch of class, really, Ronnie, to knock over Siege of Quebec, who looks like he's in for a terrific preparation as well.
Yeah, it was just too classy, as you said. He competed at the Group 1 level all through last preparation, and he was gallant. And he hadn't won in a long while, so Chris resumed him with a bit of weight, Group 3, mind you. And he got a few breaks and showed what he could do. So he's a tough horse. He handles all conditions. He's just one of those horses that you throw him in anything and he'll give his all and run a good race. So I thought Siege of Quebec was a touch unlucky, even though he had an 8 kilo pull over the winner. He was three deep, faced the breeze, chasing throughout. And I thought with better luck in transit, it should have been more of a contest.
Yeah. Yes. But, yeah. He was a fair dinkum winner, wasn't he, Le Romain? What, you think he was unlucky enough to...
No, I'm not saying the other horse should have beat him.
Just closer.
I said should have made a contest out of it.
Fair enough.
Situation, Ronnie, like Egyptian...
Symbol?
Symbol. Yeah. The map won the race.
Exactly. And it was a slow race and Egyptian Symbol took control and I couldn't believe she got to $9 there at the finish. So.
Wow.
And Natoya was fantastic there. She's a horse to follow, and so is that Kiwi horse, I Am Coldplay. They're the two to follow out of that race.
What did you make of Lover Lover while I'm there?
Good. Yeah, there she kept chipping away there. She's
one of yours, isn't she?
Yeah, she looked like she'd need the run, and she did a really good job. But I just thought the other two mares were better runs on the day.
Sure, no doubt about that. Let's get to our open line. Dean Lester from Melbourne, Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey. Barry, good morning to you.
Oh, good day, lads. But I've just Invictus Prince.
Yes.
It was rated a 77. What does he go off, about 20 points because of that second?
To the best horse we've ever seen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
How does that work, Dino? Do you get a grip on that?
Well, it is subjective and depends on the handicappers. I'm just trying to get the ratings up now. Munsey, you're probably trying to
do the same. Yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing.
No, he hasn't got a rating down next to him, so... well, I mean, to the letter of ratings, he probably should go up here 20 points or so.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think she was giving him about 50-odd points in the ratings, eh?
Yeah, well, wait for ages.
And he's come second. I don't No, 50. Yeah, was it? She's 132, yeah. And he was 77.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no.
59 points. Absolutely. He must go up. It's just sort of, it's finished him in benchmark races, really, eh?
Yeah. Well, it's a big chance it has.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Another point. I was on that best of days in the last.
Don't mention it.
And I thought Gamblestown was the run of the race there myself. When he proves that at Warwick Farm next time, I'll definitely be on that.
What was he about? Here, fifth?
Yeah, it was a good run.
It was on the outside, everyone saying about the bias.
Yeah, no, it was a good run.
Anyway, thanks. It's interesting to see what he does with Invictus Prince, because he could have had about three or four benchmark races, eh?
Yeah, well, now he's run second to the... At least they can always go home, the owners, and say, we've run second to the greatest horse we've ever seen. Give us your thoughts on 13:53:53. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
TK, how are you?
Well, thank you.
Nice and sunny here in Parks.
Oh, beautiful Parks.
All right, you had Malcolm Turnbull there yesterday. I hope you got down to the Railway Hotel and said g'day to Casey and Bianca and Malcolm Turnbull.
I was down talking to Bianca and Casey a week ago, mums.
Righto, that's all right.
Yeah, Dino, I've got one for Dino and one for Ronnie. Dino, I've seen some horses stop. And unfortunately, I thought I'd found this one to get some money out of Monday and me trifectas and first fours. But, geez, what happened to that Sheriff John Stone?
He wasn't good enough.
He's leading at 100 and come last.
Yeah, that's right. He wasn't good enough. Their group, those two down the outside of Group 1 horses, he's just he's a handy restricted horse, Sheriff John Stone. And, gee, you read the race right, because he was going to get an easy lead, but they just got too good a foot late, those horses.
Well, I got him at Sandown, which made me happy, but
that's about his standard at this stage, the Sheriff.
Dino, you didn't let him down too gently there, you know, like there was no sort of soft land. He just said, "Nah, not good enough."
Well, he wasn't 5-1. He was
no.
Yeah.
So once again, Ronnie, I thought I was going to, you know, like get Munsey again with Smart Amelia. But, you know, like when he hooked the back, I don't know, what was young Adkins singing? It was only a 1,300 race.
Yeah, she was well beaten there, wasn't she? She was well fancied, even though she was a little soft late in the market. Earlier in the week, I just couldn't believe she nearly got into favourite there at one stage. So, she's had a few trainers. There was an indication, there was writing on the wall that Bjorn had got her right after two nice runs, but... Gee, she's been a hard horse to catch in the past. I couldn't trust her on two runs, put it that way.
She did have a wide alley, and she'd been back at her two runs, and with the way that the penchant for being near the fence, it wasn't silly to see Andrew sort of hook back and go back inside. And that
Try
was the
and
race.
The rail,
he was riding the way the track was playing more than anything else.
Yeah.
In a race where there was no speed, well, you know, he jumps and sits there. He could be posted the whole race, and he's going to be in the worst spot.
Send your text messages in 0419 767 272. This comes in. Want to give a rap to Rick McIntosh. Undervalued and underappreciated race caller. Can make a three-horse jumps race over 4,500 metres sound exciting. Great for the industry. Dave from Cronulla. I enjoy Rick McIntosh. And that was a big effort. Sea King yesterday, Dino, winning the Grand National.
Was. It hasn't been a kind race to him in previous years. He's looked the winner a couple of times and fallen. He ran a place in it 2 years ago, I think. But yesterday was his day, and he nabbed, got the money right on the line. It was a bit of an epic clash, really. It was a bit of an anticlimax when Wells lost the rider early going for the fourth national, but it certainly ended up a great finish.
How old's the winner?
He's 12.
12, okay.
You probably won't see him race over the jumps again. He could come back and run next winter, but he couldn't run in the national next year because he'd turn 13.
Okay, is that the rule, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a horse from Melbourne trialled at Rose Hill just in the last minute or so more Sundays, or he started in Sydney.
Yeah.
He's up there for the Golden Rose. He's very good.
Is that the horse that won at Geelong first up the other day for the Hayes? Yep. We're in Darwin, Ronnie.
Yeah.
He's very good. He's just scooted down the outside to win a trial, and he's a beauty.
There you go. More Sundays. Mm. Well, you see, you got a Golden Rose market up there, Glenn?
Oh, TK, we've got everything here. Don't worry about that. The Golden Rose.
Struggle to get in at some of these horses.
Well, the Autumn Sun's a $6 favourite for the Golden Rose over Brutal, Performer and Sandbar, all at 11. Longleaf, Miss Fabulous, Ahood, Smarter Lissom and Zusane, all at 15. And there's a million of them at $26. I'll just look to see where well, Smart Melody, the trial today at Newcastle, is a $26 chance. More Sundays, the $26 chance. Master Ash, that won Saturday, $26 chance. Fiesta, that won Saturday, $26. So a lot of water to flow under the bridge at the moment for the Golden Rose, yeah, which is Saturday, September 22.
Become a very, very good race in a very short space of time. Right from the get-go, in fact, became a very good race. Let's get to the open line, 13:53:53. Balmain Max joins us. Hi, Balmain Max.
Yeah, good TK, mate. I want to elaborate more on Kamentari Du Bois, but first I've got two things you've got to do.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, the news and sport, mate, we sported out news out by 8:30 in the morning. Mate, you get rid of the scratchings till 10 o'clock. You know, put them back till 10 o'clock. There's 10 minutes wasted.
Do you know, Balmain Max, we took them off once, and I agree with you, but fairing, you'd swear the world had ended, right? I'm telling you, Max, the sky fell in, right? You wouldn't believe how many people, form guide in front with the pen poised, just wait for that.
Despite the fact you can get them in 738 different formats, they will call the coppers if you don't put the scratchings on at 9 o'clock. Now, not when Tom Melbourne wins. They'll dead set call the coppers if you don't put the scratchings on.
Well, Balmain Max, Tom Melbourne won that second barrier trial this morning. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I know, mate. I just wanted to elaborate a bit more on Kamentari with the boys.
Go.
Because the speed, mate, all the way through, right on the Saturday morning and everything, and the tipsters and that, and even one tip Kamentari. You know, on the Saturday morning program.
Yeah, but he lives in Canberra. We won't say anything about that.
And we won't mention his name, Simon Annopoulos.
No. Yeah, but, mate, all the speed maps had Kamentari two lengths in front turning for home. I don't know whether it's James Cummings or Glenn Schofield that wanted to do that sort of go with Winks go, you know what I mean? Like, she knew she was going to drop him even after 300. That race was won at the 600, mate. She was all over a winner. Once she dropped him, that was it, but... And Munsey styled me fun because I was going to say she winced, you know what I mean? Because you look at Red Excitement that led that time and she only just got him. Fox Play, she only just got him. They never came on, whereas Happy Clap was the only one that's finished behind her and stayed the same, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, look, well, the proof will be in the tasting of the pudding, won't it? We're not to know yet, but I'd still be happy. I mean, even though they got winxed on the weekend, I'd still be more than happy to have D'Argento in my stable, Invictus Prince.
Well, that D'Argento, he was a runner race outside of him, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, you can't say he didn't get winxed.
No, but he'll come out of it, mate. He'll come out of it all right. But that Kamentari. Anyway, fellas, I'll sit back and enjoy the show.
Oh, good on you, Balmain Max. Look, geez, I remember that. We took the scratchings off. It was the end of the world.
Ben's nearly lost his job.
Oh. We've done it down here. It's still pretty ugly.
Anyway, I know they can get them everywhere, but they like them. They like them. There's no doubt about that. D'Argento was fantastic. Invictus Prince, Kamentari. So you don't put in the disappointing character. Where does Kamentari now go? Goes on to the Memsie?
Yeah, I'd say he would.
Yeah.
I'd say he would for sure.
So you got to say that Everest is off the agenda.
Well, I'm not going to say that yet.
No, he's got 6 weeks to freshen up.
Yeah. So we'll just see how he goes in the Memsie. I think it was always a plan to run him in the Memsie, and their theory was he's doing too well. He's got to have a run in between, and that was the race that they put him in.
Right. Okay. That's fine. 13:53:53. We're taking calls. Let's go down to another Max. Joins us on the line. Hi, Max.
Hi, TK. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. Can I speak to Glenn, please?
Yes, Max, good morning. How are you?
Well, Glenn, yourself?
Oh, mate, outstanding, despite South's,
Good.
We won't go on about that. That was ages ago.
Okay, Glenn, the multis, cash outs on multis, what's the go there?
What do you mean by what's the go with cash outs on multis?
Well, I had a five-leg multi on Saturday and wanted to cash out after the first four and wasn't allowed.
Right, what was the last leg? Was it a race on Adelaide. Saturday?
Last race in Adelaide.
Right, and how long before the race did you want to cash out, or did?
No, not long, because the Osborne Bulls in Melbourne had just finished, more or less.
Right.
But the paying sign was up. We waited until then.
Right, yeah, but had the only thing what may have been, the with the paying sign being up, they still have to physically result the race in the system. See, the paramutual paying sign is different to the system that the guys are operating on fixed odds. They have to manually, the result comes in because it's linked to the paramutual, but then they have to physically result that race, which may be another 30 seconds, 45 seconds after that. So just because the paying sign's up, it doesn't mean that the fixed odds has been resulted and therefore the flow on with the multis has gone into the next leg.
There's more than 30 seconds before the jump. Right.
Unfortunately, I get the feeling, Max, that the fifth leg in Adelaide got beat.
It did.
Sorry about that, mate.
Worth about $4,300.
Oh, jeez. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Since you're travelling.
Don't worry, Max. It matters.
Be different if you needed it, Max.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get the
point, yeah. Mm. Yep. Yeah. So that was just a timing issue. It sounds like you were fighting time in the end, Max. Unfortunately.
Just because the races were so close together.
It sounds like that way, Glenn, doesn't it? Yeah. Sorry about that, Max.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Now, TK, as an addendum...
Copped it pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, 4,300. That's a round of drinks. Yeah. As an addendum to the customer last week, TK, regarding TAB rewards...
That's a big word.
The Managing Director of Wagering and Media, Adam Reitenskild, sent a note out during the week that our TAB rewards customers will experience a revitalised loyalty program with work underway on a new website, which will be live from the 17th of September.
Right.
Members will receive communication about the changes over the coming days, which will include the opportunity to earn more points than ever before, access to a new diamond tier, and offers based on what they love. The website will be hosted on a new platform, which will enable long-term improvement of TAB rewards and the integration of UBET. Also, over time, this is another great example of how we're enhancing our customer experience, and that is directly from the Managing Director of Wagering and Media for Tabcorp, Mr. Adam Reitenskill.
He's doing a fine job too.
And who listens every week.
1353 53, let's get to the open line. Hello, Ronald.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Just a comment for Ronnie and a question for Dean, please.
Yep.
Ronnie, I get the idea that, you know, you were... Shogun Sun, you're a bit unlucky on that. You've got a bit of, you're rightfully upset that you probably should have got the money given the bias. But I thought Chaonic was the ride and the run of the day. Bowman was positive out of the gates. He wasn't last. He was midfield. He got cover, three wide around the turn, peeled the horse out to the outside where no horse except for one really did what he did, made a sustained run.
That's true.
It was on one rein for 200 metres down the straight, and then threw the horse over the line. I thought it was the performance of the day from a horse that probably could win an Epson. I get that it was a pretty average race. I thought probably people were a little bit, had Chaonic a little bit underrated on the day.
Yeah, I was his biggest fan until he had that little flat. I think he got that travel sickness.
I was about to say underrated. He's been a boom horse for a long time, Ronald.
Oh, I thought it was a terrific run.
No, I thought
it was an even better ride.
Yeah, you make a very strong case for what you say.
No, your points were good. Also, Ronald, that I think Huey, when it got to the front, I think it stargazed a fair bit. You know, and he knuckled back down again. I thought he was pretty happy, Ronnie, with the final 100 metres of Chaonic when it concentrated again.
Yeah, no doubt. No, he's a really nice horse, and he is a live wire Epsom chance. You want to straighten himself up. He's got a bit of, if you don't go straight, it can cost you big races. You've got to do everything right. He's got a bit of humidor in him, actually. I still think there were unlucky runners in the race, but... Yeah. I'm not taking away of his winning performance.
And you had one, Dave, for Dino. Oh, sorry, Ronald, for Dino.
Of course, with a similar pattern down there, Dean. I don't know whether you've seen him. You'd know him, obviously. But Osborne Balls was amazing. What even was more amazing to me was Land of Plenty. I was staggered. I didn't give him a hope over that distance. Can you let me know, or do you know, where he's being targeted at, please?
Yeah, the Rupert Clark and the Toorak are his two main aims. And that was I couldn't believe the odds he got to Saturday. I know he hadn't really performed first up, but he got the winning habit last time in. And I wouldn't be surprised if those two horses, Nelly Quinella, the Rupert Clark, Osborne Bulls and Land of Plenty, they're both the right sort of horses for that race.
Mm. There you go. Good on you. Hopefully, Ronald, happy with that. But yeah, Kionic was good, and I do think that Huey just thought it stargazed, but then concentrated back again in that final 100 metres.
I didn't see the last 75 metres. I was crawled up in a ball underneath the desk, sucking my thumb when I had a look at the book, between Kionic and Shogun Sun was.
Well, he had a little bit of a chance at the 200. He stumbled for a stride there, Kionic, and he changed leg. I didn't know if he was going to get
the ball. I thought he was going to give the ghost up, but he was 3.80, I think, on Friday morning, Glenn, then got to $2.80, then out to, 3.20?
I'll just have a look.
But he took plenty of money. He was popular.
He was 360 opening price, 330 on Thursday. Got to 340 on Friday with the special promotion open. 310 Saturday. Was 3 when we did the preview. 290 not long before the race. A touch $3 again. Plenty of punters cheered. They have carried Huey has carried punters the last two Saturdays in the last race with the stable mates, Perrette and Kionic. They have taken over the equivalent of Ronnie's frequent flyer miles out of the tab coffers.
Okay. Best performance of the weekend. This comes in on text. Richard Friedman's double at Taree, including the cup.
Well done.
Well done to Rich there for that. Does the Golden Rose field go on prize money earnings or ratings? Thanks, boys. Ronnie?
Don't know. I'd say it'd be...
I think it'd be prize money.
Have to be prize money, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And morning, boys. Does any of the boys know what race the Autumn Sun will return in? Cheers, Foot from Newcastle.
I'd say...
That Rose series.
The Rose Bud.
Run to the Rose.
The Run to the Rose. Yeah, we've had the Rose Bud, haven't we?
We've had...
The Prelude to the Rose.
We've had...
The Pollination.
We've had the first of the new ones.
Germination.
In that series.
Well, the San Domenico's this week, you think 1,100 wouldn't be really his go, would you? There's the Ming Dynasty as well this week, 1,400. How many... Has he had the one trial or has he had two, the Autumn Sun? Trialed the other day.
One. I think he's only had one.
Yeah.
It might be all he needs off of Brisbane Prep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't seem that long ago, Brisbane.
Let me see here. I'd say he'd be a month off, maybe. Mm-hmm. The Run to the Rose is on September 8th. So 3 weeks, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, he trialled on the 13th, so he trialled this day last week.
Yeah, I'd say the Run to the Rose is the logical for him. That's where he'd be qualified for that, so that's his race.
Glenn, can I just ask you a quick one without notice? Glenn, downloaded the Tab app on the weekend. Am I automatically a Tab Rewards member, or do I need to do more, like register?
Are you a Tab account holder? You can download the Tab app, and you're not a Tab account holder.
Yeah.
You've got to be a Tab account holder first, and then I think you'll find you will automatically accrue Tab rewards points.
Right. Okay. So it looks like that, but if you need to give customer service a call,
just go on the website to see whether there's any box you have to tick or anything like that for Tab rewards.
Good on you. Hello, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, boys, how are you? I've got a Pete and Glenn busy here at the moment.
Okay.
Question. I'd like to play the futures, mate. So looking up, trying to get some value. And for the Epsom, I'm looking for CJ Quebec on Friday. Can't find him anywhere. They go down to 50-1, not listed anywhere. So I ring up and see, others on request. Spoke to the lady Friday morning. She said, yeah, she'd speak to the betting department because Cedric Quebec's in to run on Saturday. 24 hours, followed up, nothing. Anyhow, of course, Cedric Quebec runs a good race and they put him up in the Epsom markets after that.
At $26?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
They went down to 50 and they couldn't find a spot for him.
No, this is a pre-nom market for the Epsom, so it's got nothing to do with the prices of the ones they've already quoted. In that situation, I know this might sound funny, but if you've got social media, you'll get a much quicker reaction posting a request on social media than you will going through customer service.
Oh, okay. So go.
Because people, we've got so many people actually monitoring social media requests. We've got a media team. We've got a social media team as such. Customer service, you might only have one person working.
Yeah, she said she spoke to the bookmaker market and they were looking at listing the price. In 24 hours, it never come up.
Right.
All of a sudden, it comes up after he runs Ramwick.
Yeah, well, I noticed looking at the way that they've gone up here, like Perrette is, well, the only horses behind Perrette that have been added in the last couple of weeks is Plain Seal, Dino? Or Plain Seal? Plain Seal.
Yeah, there's a...
Hans Holbein, Siege of Quebec, and the Toya. And Perrette ran last... well, the last time Perrette run...
Saturday.
But he might have actually been added... He might have actually been added the previous run.
Right.
When they said, you know, the Epsom's his target. So that's a few weeks ago, and there's only been four horses added since then.
Just want to try and squeeze Jeff in before time beats us. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
G'day, Terry. Can I speak to Ronnie, please?
G'day, Jeff.
G'day, Ronnie. I'm just checking on the breeding of that Master Ash. I'm reasonably sure, but not 100. Did you race the mare Hanky Panky?
I bought Hanky Panky at Easter. And we raced her. Clary Connors had her. She placed in one of the slipper lead-ups. Beautifully bred filly. And we end up selling her to Vinery, I reckon, for a lot of money.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have sold her.
I reckon she's passed through a few she's been a beauty. I tell you what.
She's been a good producing mare, yeah?
She'd be old. She'd be really old. So, no, she's done a great job producing that horse. He's an improver, Master Ash, but Hanky Panky was a really good filly for us.
You named it, obviously.
Yes.
Let's fit Jed in if we can. Hi, Jed.
Oh, good morning, boys. Look, I just want to make a comment, mate, about the rail placement at Randwick. And I think Ronnie Duffus, he hit the nail on the head on in his article in the paper on Sunday. Favourite on-pace runners had to be a champion to win out wide. For God's sake, when they run the Everest, put the rail in the true position and sacrifice the Epsom handicap or something, because if you don't put the rail in the true position on Everest Day, every horse will not get his chance. That's all I want to say.
Good on you, Jim.
Have a great day, boys.
There you go.
Well, a lot of people will say Everest Day last year, if you weren't near the rails, you didn't have a chance in it.
Yeah.
And Hanky Panky is 20.
20, is she?
20?
Yep.
She's done a good job for a few
European holidays, by the sound of it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt, too. Not back in that baggage class.
No, not in the double-figure seats either.
No. Now, Ronnie, you got a horse to follow for us?
Well, how big's that train or bus to fit the D'Argento fans on?
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Those two horses of Wallace have come back well, D'Argento and Unforgotten. There's something big for both of them.
All right. Glenn?
Well, I keep following it every time she goes around TK. She's going to win a race sooner or later. Natoya, I don't know which it's going to be, she is going to win a race.
A set waste class 1 mile or something.
Someone posted on Twitter. They said, wouldn't you sacrifice a Saturday win to just take it to a class 3 plate somewhere to get a bit of confidence? Well, Bjorn Baker took his... what's that horse that ran a place in the Randwick Guineas? He took it to Gosford the other day in a Class 1 plate.
Yep. Melbourne Jim.
Snowden used to do it a lot.
Dino, my couple I want to follow are from Melbourne, actually. Grunt and Longleaf.
Yeah, Grunt. I'll go with you. I'm jury out on that Vane Stakes. I don't know much of a race. But certainly looking forward to seeing Grunt. And one we haven't mentioned out of the last race, stayer called Yogi. He's always promised a little bit. I reckon this will be the preparation. He puts it together, and I think he'll be trying to win the Bart Cummings to get into the Melbourne Cup. He'll win something this spring.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because one of our listeners texted in regarding Yogi. So there's a good heads up there for Dean Lester. And we did all that without even mentioning how brave Sunlight was for Tony McAvoy. Raced up on the speed and got the job done in the Quizette for the fillies. Thank you, Dino.
Thank you, TK.
Thanks, Ronnie.
See you guys.
Hit them straight, Glenn.
No golf today, TK.
Oh, what's happened?
Course renovations, and Ronnie and I are off to Randwick to record an ad.
There you go.
Yeah,
you
so...
well, no expense spared.
No.
After the first 50 takes.
I think a Super 8 camera should be out there. So
there's one rule. We're not allowed to talk, they say.
Not allowed to talk.
Nothing that 4 hours of makeup won't fix. Thank you, guys.
See ya.
There they go. That is Punters Postmortem for this Monday morning. It's 10 o'clock. You just heard the beeps, or the pips, as we call them. That means it's news time and headline time with Madison Clare Sloan.